Good morning, everyone. So, my name is Jeff Chandler, and I operate the WordPress enthusiast site WPTavern.com. And some of you may have heard me on, I do a weekly podcast every week called WordPress Weekly. And I'm also on Twitter at WPTavern, so I'm all over the place in terms of WordPress. And, before we get started, let's give everyone a round of applause in terms of organizing this event today. So the topic today is monetization in a free world, and I think it's a very interesting topic. I've been involved with WordPress since around 2007, and before I got involved with WordPress, I always thought that open source meant just free, and that's the only thing I knew about open source. And in the past 2 years, I've learned a lot in terms of what open source means, some of the nuances that go along with open source, and also that open source is not the answer to everything. Sometimes it's not the best solution, and it's been quite an enlightening experience. And today, hopefully, WordPress is a very popular software, and it's gotten to the point now where you can build around and on top of the software viable businesses. And today in the panel, we've got four people who so far have proven track records on creating successful businesses around the software. So I want to start off by introducing Brian Gardner. And go ahead, you do studiopress.com, and that's for commercial GPL themes on top of WordPress. And Jane Wells of automatic.com, she does a lot of the UI work involved with the WordPress.org software. And who do we have? Carl Hancock of Gravity Forms. Or Rocket Genius, but he makes Gravity Forms. That's a really popular commercial plugin to create form generation. And last but not least, Joshua Strebel of Pagely, which is a service that bridges the ease of WordPress.com with the freedom of WordPress.org, which is awesome. That's an awesome combination. So also during the panel, we're going to take questions. We have volunteers on each side of the room. And if this panel sucks, some of that responsibility is going to go on you, the audience, because this is audience participation.
Yeah, noted.
So before we get started, how many in the audience either already has a business on WordPress or wants to start a business on or around WordPress? I guess that's why you're in this panel. I just want to go down the line here, starting with Brian Gardner, and I just want you guys, without going into sell mode, explain your core monetization strategy, how it is you make money.
My name is Brian. I run studiopress.com, and that's all I'm going to say about the domain, because this is not a selling thing. I basically sell WordPress themes that you can use that are enhanced, have functionality and capabilities that kind of go above and beyond a typical theme. We provide support for our work, and that's pretty much it.
I'm Jane Wells. I'm a little bit sick, so if I start coughing, I apologize. I am actually not someone who has built a business on WordPress. I am beyond here now, but I'm representing Automatic, which is the business Matt Muller like founded. We basically have a business that would make money that could be funneled into WordPress.org development. So I do the U.S. there and communitiesfester.org, and we make money, I guess, through services mostly. WordPress.com is free for just like a basic blog, but you can buy upgrades for space, for like extra hosting, video serving. We sell support to corporate clients. We have a VIP hosting program for people like CNN and New York Times, for like big companies. There's a little bit of ad revenue, and I'm missing one of all.
Right now, but I'm sure I'll remember
it when someone else has a question. Is it like MU? The MU is free.
Like CNN, what do you mean?
That's
the
ITA,
CNN,
yeah.
Oh,
it
isn't
it
licensing, but it's such a tiny, tiny bit of money. That's why I always forget it.
You're up next, Kyle.
Yeah, my name's Kyle Bianco. I'm a partner at
Hello. I'm a partner at Rocket Genius. We create the Gravity Forms plugin. And basically, we make money selling and supporting the Fedora plugin that we produce. And that's really about it.
Name's Joshua Scrabble. We run Page, which is a managed hosting environment for WordPress.org installed in 2 minutes. And we also help work with some of the team providers and offer premium feedback to our customers.
Thank you. So the first question I have that can be aimed towards Brian and both Carl is that the notion WordPress is free, it's open source software, and there seems to be this notion, at least within the WordPress community, that if WordPress is free, anything built on or around it should also be free. And since you guys, you know, Carl charges for the plugin for WordPress and you charge for themes, what do you think about that mentality or that attitude?
What do you do for a living? What is everyone, most people, you get paid to do what you're doing? So we develop, we write code, and we produce software. So why is it wrong for us to not get paid for the work that we do? Nobody asks anybody else to do anything for free. And I have no problem with giving away stuff for free. But to produce what we produce takes a lot of work, time, and effort, and we wouldn't be able to do it if we didn't charge.
Yeah, I'll back Carl up and say that what we do takes a lot of time, and to do, you know, we started out as doing free stuff and free support, and it gets to that point when there's so much need for help that we need to turn it into a monetization plan. And so what we've done, even though WordPress is licensed under the GPL, which technically means that it's free and available to be redistributed, it also, the license also states that you can also sell work that's derived from GPL product, which is what we do. And in our community, I sure hope our community would back us in saying that the support that we give and the amount of care that we give to our customers is well worth the money we spend. So.
Okay. Now, Carl, you're in a unique situation in terms of selling a commercial plugin for WordPress because, as we know, I think most of us know here, some of the features and functionality found in WordPress are derived from very popular plugins. It don't only make sense over time to take some of that functionality from plugins and move it to the core, because obviously a lot of people are using that. So my question is, if you're creating a commercial plugin for WordPress and some of that core functionality ends up in the software, is that, it seems like an inherent risk to me in terms of running a business around a commercial plugin for WordPress, because what if it ends up being in the core at some point?
I think you got to be very careful with what type of plugin you produce. If you're creating a small plugin that has limited functionality, it very well could make it into the core. But if you're creating, you want to create something bigger that's very feature rich, because chances are, if they put that in the core is getting too big. The core of WordPress really shouldn't be the end-all, be-all. It shouldn't do everything. That's the whole point of having plugins and themes, is to extend the capabilities. It's supposed to be the core, a base. And the more they add to it, the more bloated it's going to get. And I think that would be a bad situation for everybody if it did happen where everything was getting absorbed. And they're really good about not doing that. They're good about only absorbing, you know, more smaller things that everybody can take advantage of. And I think you just got to be careful what kind of plugin you create. If you create something small, you run the risk of it being put in the core if it's really that good and that useful.
And Jane, maybe you can weigh in on the fact on, has there ever been a plugin that's just been directly integrated into the core? Because as far as I understand it, it's just mostly a whet-your-appetite deal.
It depends. A lot of times plugins don't really follow the exact coding in it that we have in core, so you might look at a plugin and decide, well, we're going to take that into core, but substantial amounts of code need to be written for it. But, I mean, yeah, there are plugins that have been absorbed in the core, and, I mean, I think that there are two things that Carl said that I would respond to. One is when he said no one asks anybody else to develop things for free, but everyone here asks the WordPress contributors to develop WordPress for free, so I'm kind of I think it's fine for the record to charge for plugins and themes. Like, that's fine at a GPL, as long as you're GPL compliant, I'm totally cool with that. but we do develop WordPress for free. It's important to acknowledge that, that your business is built on free software that other people are developing for free.
Yeah, it wouldn't exist without the developers, but all of them also, for the most part, Jakewood, for example, they are making money off WordPress even though they're developing it for free. They're just, they may be making money in other ways. They may not be selling a product. They may be doing consulting services. So even the core developers, for the most part, are monetizing WordPress. They're just doing it in different ways.
So far, Jakewood is actually the only core developer who is a consultant. And basically, the model of selling a plugin, it runs the risk that it could wind up in core, or now that core plugins are going to kind of start coming into effect. It's not that anyone would say, oh, Gravity Forms is the perfect forms plugin. Let's make that the core plugin, and we're just going to take it to the detail. That's not the intention. The intention is to identify areas of functionality where there's a high demand, but it wouldn't be quite right to put it into core because we don't want to bloat core, and to kind of try to get sort of the best of breed developers to be working together, and for the people who have sort of monetization thing, to have them focus more on the consulting services or the support or whatever else, or creating plugins that put into the core plugins, so the core plugins have sort of basic functionality, they can make it even more specialized and more niche. And I think that is probably what we'll see more of in the next couple of years.
In terms of WordPress.org, we know that's the free open source software that's freely available to anyone who wants to download it and is all in the web host. But as someone who works for Automattic, can you kind of give some differentiations between WordPress.org and WordPress.com? Because there's a lot of confusion, and some people say that WordPress makes money, yet they get confused between .com and .org.
Okay, so WordPress.org is free software, it's open source development. It was founded by Matt Mullenweg. He didn't want to work for CNET and do work on the side, and the couple of guys that were really busting their butts to make WordPress better. He decided he should form a company that would make money so that they could work on WordPress full time, and that is what WordPress.com is. It was the idea would be to form a company which is actually called Automattic, with two P's, because Matt. So basically, that's it. We need a way to make some money so that we can afford to work on WordPress instead of going to a day job. In terms of like the service offering, it's a very limited kind of WordPress experience. If you like Blogger, you'll probably like WordPress.com. You can't use any plugins. You can't embed JavaScript or Flash. There's no ads. So it's really more like if you want to rent WordPress as opposed to like buying WordPress, but you've done analogy a lot, renting an apartment versus buying a house. You can't paint the walls in the apartment that you're renting. You can't rip out the floors and put in new ones. If you want to do that, you need to buy a house. So if you want complete control, you should just download WordPress.org and run it on your own server or share hosting, or do something like Pagely, which, kind of in between WordPress.com and running it yourself. Service, and frankly, I wish we did it, but he doesn't have any interest in doing that.
And speaking of Josh, I see software as a service being a big time thing as we go into the future, and they seem to be springing up all over the place. And I know this not supposed to be selling this, but I just love the idea behind Pagely. And talking about the software as a service business model, just tell us a little bit about how you've managed to achieve that so far.
It's been an interesting journey. I use WordPress every day. I ran a consulting business for many years, so we would sell WordPress to our clients. And it just seemed like there had to be a way to kind of combine the needs of .com with the customization.org. So that's where Pagely fits in. And from a software as a service perspective, it's kind of that managed environment that .com offers to some degree, that you with kind of leasing the service, we can give you all the bells and whistles and the plugins and the theme, but there's a support expectation that comes with it in a SaaS environment. So that's been interesting to kind of walk that line between, well, can't I just do this for free? Well, yes, you can, but we're trying to automate some of the some of the procedure and give you some little extra support. So we're kind of walking that line between, yes, you can do it for free, but there is a benefit having a managed environment, a SaaS environment.
Yeah, in terms of the support service, for WordPress.com, we have a handful of support people. WordPress.com offers 24/7 free support for their free customers. I think two of those people actually focus on our paying VIP customers, but that kind of covers paying for all the other people that do all the free service. So we basically use our VIP customers to fund all the free stuff.
That's a good idea.
Now, speaking of value, which is obviously something that the customer would be worthy of paying for, just out of, we could go down the line here, but what would you say is the most valuable part of your business?
For what we do, it's, I'm going to kind of group it together. It's support in conjunction with relationships. A lot of what WordPress and what we do goes above and beyond just throwing a product up on a shelf and just having someone buy it. Is because there's a lot of questions that are involved with using certain things, you know, and we really pride ourselves on taking care of our customers and supporting them, and believe in word-of-mouth marketing. So for us, the biggest value that we provide is kind of that Jerry Maguire feel, which is, you know, fewer clients and whatnot, and really just try to pay attention to people that, you know, are in our community.
Probably for us, it's a sense of hassle-free experience. So the home you don't have to worry about, the store you don't have to worry about, and also WordPress.com people get features before most other hosted WordPress because we're continually merging things in from Trump, so things like the chat feature or sticky posts or whatever, they get tested on .com kind of because it's, you know, 10 million free data and so things that we might not catch in the .org kind of data testing environment because no one would run it on a live server when it's in Trump's, you know, buddy, we can kind of take little bits of it, test it on .com, and then find more vulnerabilities and bugs and interviews before we do the final release.
For us, I'd say it's our second with Brian done is to support. You have someone to turn to if something goes wrong or Mike's going to be the anyway. If something goes wrong, you have someone to turn to. With a lot of other plugins, they may do the job, but if you run into a snag or you're doing client work, the client's looking at you, and who are you going to look to if you can't figure it out? So we have reliable support that you can go to when you have a question or you have a problem, and we're there to help you. And that's not always the case with every plugin that you download. There's certainly a lot of plugin authors that do provide good support, but there's no guarantee that they'll always be there, so that's the chance that you take.
For us, it's really convenient. You don't have to know what a database is. You don't have to even look at the database. You just set up. It's a managed environment. We do the backup. We do the core upgrades. We set you up with the good plugins that you need to have off the bat. So it's really just a convenience service.
So speaking of software as a service, I kind of think that because of the infrastructure and some of the things that have to go on behind the scenes, that it seems like it would be more expensive than to create a theme or plugin and release that out to the open. And I don't know of very many other businesses built on or around WordPress that are backed by venture capital funding. And at least Automatic has private investors backed by VC funding. And just wondering how that comes into play in terms of running a successful software as a service business. I mean, is venture capital needed to make it a success? Or does someone like Joshua, have you been able to manage just fine without VC funding and still providing a good level of service?
So far, yes. We've organically grown and we've been able to put the infrastructure in place. Obviously, we're not doing volume at .com, and you have a server farm as big as this room that fills 10 million blogs. You're not doing that on a bootstrap budget. So I think as you scale, there's some serious capital costs that come in because you don't just need one server. You need 20 to back up those first 10, et cetera, et cetera. So that's there you go.
Now, another thing that's interesting about WordPress, and anyone who knows me has been following knows I'm going to bring this up, but I think it's important if you're going to run a business on or around open source software that you take a look at the license of the software. And the license for WordPress is GPL. Is it strictly version 2? A couple different versions, but it's strictly version 2. And I just wanted to kind of lay out some of the core freedoms here because it's interesting when you think of the freedoms that the end user has. Kind of brings up questions on, well, how can you come up with a successful business if end users can do what these freedoms allow? So you have the freedom to use the software for any purpose, the freedom to change the software to suit your needs, the freedom to share the software with your friends and neighbors, and the freedom to share the changes you make. Now, if you're doing a commercial GPL plan or a commercial GPL theme, and within that license says you can freely modify, redistribute, and share those things amongst the community or with other people. You know, how, it's almost like, well, how can you create a successful business around that? And I'll start with you, and I'll just say that Brian Garner, at one point, I don't think was GPL, but then you made the switch to being GPL, and your business hasn't gone down the tube since you switched to being GPL compliant, right?
Right. About a year, a little over a year ago, we were kind of a proprietary entity where we restricted the use, and that was kind of my bad for being a non-informed business owner. And then when I fully understood the GPL license and kind of what it was designed for and whatnot, I flew to San Francisco to talk to Matt and Tony, who's the CEO of Automatic, and just to get on the same field saying, hey, I'm making money off your software, and it's known that me and other people aren't in line with the license that WordPress is. And again, it was a kind of a my bad deal. And I went out there just to have them kind of explain to me, because I had a business that was going very well at the time. And I kind of knew that, you know, it not being in line with WordPress and the license, that there was an inherent risk for me and my family that at any given moment there might be some sort of a legal issue. And so what I chose to do is to completely take my business and throw it kind of under the bus and start fresh with GPL licensed products. And in terms of the risk that's involved, again, I stress the importance of the community thing. You know, anybody can go out and download a theme or a plugin. And quite honestly, you know, there's safety involved in purchasing the kind of the support element of it. Our themes are $59, and I guarantee you if you download a free theme in this business world, if you spend 3 hours trying to figure something out, you kind of lost well above and beyond that in your own time trying to figure something out. And if you can come to, you know, a place where in 5 minutes you have your answer, you can move along, you've really made a lot of, you know, kind of headway in terms of, you know, not wasting your own personal time trying to get stuff.
And that comes back to the point of value being support. Support is something that cannot be found anywhere on the net, especially when it relates to your core products. So what about you, Kyle, in terms of GPL?
Yeah, we've been GPL since the beginning, and it's the right thing to do. It's in line with what WordPress is. WordPress is released under the GPL. There's some plugins and themes out there that aren't GPL when they really should be. And it comes back to what you said, the value is the support and the reliability that someone's going to be there to continue the development of the plugin, to provide support for the plugin. And when WordPress releases updates, they're going to be there to release updates to their plugin to ensure compatibility with the latest version of the core platform. And I don't think the GPL has any impact whatsoever on being able to do business with WordPress.
And if anyone has questions, no, okay, take him over here.
I had a comment. I think it's important that people in the room understand.
Guys, can we be sure to hand the mics and make sure you talk on the mics while you're...
Hi, James Joel. I think it's important that people in the room understand the two different types of open source licenses. There are permissive and restrictive. Permissive is like the BSD license or Berkeley license or the MIT license. Basically, that's almost the same as putting in the open domain. People can take that and make it proprietary. Like Microsoft took the TCP/IP stack, put it into Windows, which is obviously proprietary software. GPL requires the user, upon receipt of acceptance of the license when he knows the software, to basically re-release it under the GPL if he releases it outside of his own company. So that's the main difference between a restrictive and a permissive open source license. For me, on support, I think that the more extensive your software package, the more corporate it is, the more enterprise it is, the more likely you are to be able to charge a meaningful amount of money for support. So if you take like MySQL, which is obviously a very powerful database, and big companies use it, and they obviously need to have support because they want, you know, it has to be working all the time, they're willing to pay a lot of money, you know, annually for support licenses, which is why they're able to sell for $1 billion. The smaller you are, the less important you are, and the more consumer you are, the harder I think it is going to be to charge a lot of money for support. So that's something you have to kind of think about, is where your product fits in the best factor. So if you're like a small utility, just add just a little bit, people aren't going to pay you, you know, $100 a month a year for support. That's just not realistic.
Can you at this gentleman over here, and then we'll do Jake.
I came into the WordPress community about 6 months ago, and I did massive education and reading everything that I could and looking at all sorts of videos, and there were some of them were from Marvel, some of them were not. But it took me a little while before the light bulb went off, and I said, oh, all right, the way all these incredible developers make money is to, that's okay. That's a good thing. But it might be a good thing for WordPress.org to, post clearly up front, hey guys, here's what it's about. You're getting the base functionality for free. You got all these wonderful people doing incredible things for you. Many of their plugins are going to be free, but, they're all going to be willing to give you support, or some are going to be willing to support, and they're entitled to get paid for that, and that is a good thing. Some of the payments are going to be relatively small. Some are going to be large corporate license deals. Everyone's fair. But in other words, there needs to be, I think, more education, because it really took me, and again, I can't tell you how much time I put into it. I really dove into it, and it took me probably 2 or 3 months before that label would come on, or to have this all work.
So the WordPress.org site, which is where I'm guessing you started, is a couple of years old. So the copy there is old, and it doesn't really address the things that are kind of issues. Now we're going to be redesigning it this year and creating new content and having sort of new sections of it. And I think that kind of thing will be serviced more. But I think that some people, everyone has a different point of view of how they want to fit into the community. There are actually people that don't do paid support for their plugins. They do it all for free in the .org forum, which I personally find a little silly that they don't also have a paid option, because why not?
It doesn't scale, too. The number of people that WordPress has, how can you possibly provide decent support? There's millions and millions of people using it. And there's plugins with millions and millions of people using the plugin. And that doesn't scale, especially when you're one person working on the plugin.
I think that, how many people here are familiar with BuddyPress? So basically, it's a plugin for WordPress that basically will turn the site into a social network, kind of like Facebook. And it has been largely developed by Andy Keeling, who is now an Automatic employee, although he started it before he worked for Automatic, and we basically hired him so he could work on it full time because we thought it was an awesome plugin. He recently added a second committer to the project, John James Jacoby, who makes his living doing consulting on WordPress and BuddyPress. When people send him an email saying, can you help me with this? He will tell them, if you go and ask in the BuddyPress forum, I will answer that question for free, because then the information is out there and it's going to enhance the community. If you want me to answer that personally and give you a little more attention, here are my rates. And I think that that's kind of a nice, what I don't think that all support should be paid, and I don't think all support should be free. I think there's a level of sort of the basic support that should be free, because that's really the essence of our community, is that this is a shared free community. But there are things that you're going to pay for. You're going to pay for hosting. You're going to pay for customization. When you get stuck and you can't find help in sort of the basic support forms or documentation, you need someone to help you because, you're in fifth grade, but you only have second grade math. So that kind of thing is worth money. And I think to the point earlier, if your plugin is insignificant, I have seen some very small plugins make plenty of money just in donations. So I think that it's not so much how big it is or how small it is, it's how much value it brings. You can have a very big plugin, but the value of it is not really as high. And I think if we had a better mechanism, right now the donation thing is almost invisible, right? I mean, you go to .org, you have to be on that page, and you can get it from the admin, but then you go to another site, and then you have to do this, and have a PayPal account, and whatever. I think we need to build a better way for people to kind of go back to plugin authors.
How much can people make on
the plugin? Some people support their entire livelihood making $1,000 a year. That's very rare. Most people don't make anywhere near that much. But I know enough people who, make enough to live.
I think it's really important not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The literal interpretation of the GPL is it is free software. But we're in a capitalist society, and we're all business owners, and I really believe that you should be compensated for your intellectual property and the time and the energy. And so sometimes it's hard to tiptoe around the community issue. But at the end of the day, good product comes with a financial incentive usually. Somebody develop a good product. So it's all that it is sometimes. It isn't. Exactly. That was kind of.
Go ahead, Jake. This is Jake. So I think, and Jane just touched on it, but I think when you're talking about the marketplace and monetization, it's important to talk a little bit about what, you know, what size of the market is, what the volume of the market is. I particularly like to address the question or two paid commercial developers. I guess my question is, can you give us, without showing all your cards, can you give us a sense of what is your volume? Do you sell a lot? Do you really rely on support as your mechanism? Is there room for very niche plugins to make money?
I'll answer this in a roundabout way. I personally don't do any consulting. I personally don't do any one-on-one anything. We have 10 people in our community that are practically full-time freelance consultants based on the volume that goes through our forum. Our support forum is closing in on 100,000 posts, and we have upwards of 20,000 people at, well, I don't know the exact numbers, but the bottom line is that there's 10 million people on .com who are hungry and thirsty to move into .org, and WordPress by itself is becoming an entity that is slowly starting to dominate its competitors, and there's how many billion people in the world. So the bottom line is, there's an incredible amount of opportunity for people in theme development, plugin development, general consulting as, you know, as its own, you know, business plan as well. So,
I think Carl Hancock is living proof, him and the Rocket Genius crew, because last year, you know, nobody had ever heard of him, and then he started the company. Well, I think Rocket Genius was already there, but he created Gravity Forms, and because it was such an awesome product, now it's the best Forms plugin, and anyone who needs form generation is usually recommending Gravity Forms, even though it's a commercial product, because it's the best there is.
Yeah, I mean, we started it last year, and we were in the business of doing consulting and client work, and right now we're basically not doing client work, and Gravity Forms is supporting at least 2.5 of us. The other one is still, he works part-time on the project. Our product isn't on WordPress.org. So it's strictly you have to come to us to get it. So we don't tap into the that market. So it's even tougher for us because WordPress.org drives an immense amount of traffic to plugins, and all of our success has come through word of mouth, and actually Twitter has been huge in promoting our product, and we are able to make a living on what we're doing, and we plan on doing more products in the future.
I'd like a quick follow-up point of the question. Jane, I'd like to, if you can speak for automatic. One thing I'm curious about that I've talked to a number of commercial developers, I know it goes through my mind when I build sort of free plugins, is that the cost-benefit in terms of making commercial and free for me, it's not just about, is my plugin as good of a free plugin, it's can my plugin be found? Would automatic, is it all on the roadmap? Would they consider finding better ways to drive traffic to commercial GPL-compatible plugins to showcase those, make it easier to install them?
So you're kind of asking two different questions. One is about the quality of plugins and repository. There's too many. If you search for forms or, you know, tags or contacts or Twitter or whatever, you get too many. Some of them are old. The ratings are totally vicarious. There's no idea, like, are they actually good? Are they rated? Are they people actually use it? And that's the impetus behind having the core plugin system, which right now is kind of just a pilot program, and we're hoping it's going to solve that problem. We don't know if it will. We'll see how it goes. But the idea is that by identifying areas of functionality that we need to kind of have, sort of, this is the plugin that forms the base of this function, and then other people can, like, plug into it, like, full plugs and stuff, to make it their own, but that people would be contributing back into the core plugin. So, like, one thing about commercial plugins right now is that Gravity Forms, it is kind of its own little universe. If you look at someone like Mark Jacobs, who mostly does consulting, he actually takes the code that he creates for clients and contributes it back to the community. So, like, how many people here have heard of Post Thumbnails? It was a 2.9 feature. Okay, it's basically one of the features that's going to make WordPress a more viable CMS platform. Brian, actually, we pulled him in because we knew he does a lot of CMS things. Mark had actually made that code for GigaOm Pro, which was, you know, a huge, like, or whatever. We're like, well, we need that feature can you port that code over to Core? And he said, sure, of course, because the whole point of working in the WordPress community is that you're in the WordPress community. If you want to work in a proprietary community, then you should build on a proprietary platform. So I think that with the Core plugin thing, I think there will be more room for there to be sort of businesses around specific functionality while also letting those people be more part of the community. Like if someone, like Carl was a lead developer on a, you know, form for plugin, and then they had Gravity Form that built off of that, and they had a business around that, not only could he have his own business, but he could also be a core part of the community, which I think is a disconnect right now that I think is kind of a bummer. People are respected, but they're either in or out of Core, and so we kind of want to expand the definition of Core. The first two are being worked on now, so we post by email, and health check are the first two, and we've just set up some mailing list and tracks. And so all that stuff is, we'll be publishing probably in another 2 weeks, kind of the status of that. We're hoping to kind of roll them out with version 3.0, which will be released in April.
So
are you
sure I can kind of step back a little bit? How did they come in? That it isn't viable to support millions of people as a sole operator. But if you're doing paid support, that to me sounds like an awesome decision.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you craft a business structure that says, okay, I've played with the finances and I either do it as a per shot flat rate or a something, and if out of millions of people, some people sign up and get forced to hire five people, that's not a bad business.
Actually, crowd favorite, Alex King's business out of Denver, they actually started a support branch just for that. They do consulting and custom development, but they actually hired a bunch of people to do full-time support, and they have a viable business around that now.
We got time, Jake, or we got time for one more?
One over here.
Mr. Jonathan Davis.
Jonathan Davis for the Shop Plugin. Point I'd like to make as a plugin developer, especially starting out on your own, nobody knows your name, is the customer service is what you're building as your value for your project. Then releasing code for free and allowing everybody to download it at the same time tends to lead towards that rush of people for support. And if you are so busy doing support on your own, you don't have time to be developing plugins. The project is going to stall and die, essentially, because it's not making forward momentum, because you are spread too thin doing all of this other support resources. And in terms of the time scale of getting your support resources online at the same time you're growing well over your scale. I mean, when you release to the entire WordPress community, you're talking about a huge rush. So those are kind of some of the headaches that I find for plugin developers who are just getting started and trying to decide what path to take. The reason why Shop and Gravity Forms have been so fast in approach is we want to make sure that we have resources to be able to bring those support systems online before the rush kicks in and then drives down the entire value that we can provide.
It also, it's acting kind of like a gatekeeper, which I know is some people consider bad, but a lot of people, if you make it out there and it's freely available, they're still going to try to get support from you for free, and it's going to take up a lot of your time responding to them saying, no, I can't, you know, please check out our support packages here. It's still going to eat up your time. By them having to come to us and get the plugin, you're only getting people that are serious about using your product, and you're going to have less time wasting, and that's what we found. If we had it freely available to download, I know it would be eating up tons of my time. I'd love to provide everybody support, but it's impossible. So that's why you have to pay for support from us, and when you do pay for support, we provide a very high level of support, so you have someone to support.
So that's going to do, I want to thank everybody. Let's give a round of applause to our guests here for sharing information. Did Jake?
Do you know WordPress?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.